So, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in a particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Shall we repeat it together? O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Purport. The statement here is that the Lord manifests himself before the devotee in the form in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him, indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee, so much so that he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. This demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.11. Yeyata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. We should note, however, that the Lord is never the order supplier of the devotee. Here in this verse, it is particularly mentioned that bhakti yoga paribhavita. This indicates the efficiency achieved through execution of mature devotional service, or prema, love of God, love of Godhead. This state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of development from the faith to love. On faith, one associates with bona fide devotees, and by such association, one can become engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation and the execution of the primary devotional duties prescribed in the revealed scriptures. This is clearly indicated herein by the word Shrutekshita. The Shrutekshita path is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. By the bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, and thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord, as described in the Vedas. This attachment of the devotee to a particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord eternally. This particular attachment is invoked by practice of regulative devotional service to the Lord, and thus the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord. Exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Sarupya Siddhi. Swarupa Siddhi. The Lord sits on the heart, on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form of pure devotee, in the eternal form the pure devotee desires. And thus the Lord does not part from the devotee, as confirmed in the previous verse. The Lord, however, does not disclose himself to a casual or inauthentic worshipper to be exploited. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:25, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samamrita. Rather, by Yoga Maya, the Lord remains concealed to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving their sense gratification. The Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees who worship the demigods in charge of universal affairs. The conclusion is that the Lord cannot become the order supplier of a pseudo-devotee, but he is always prepared to respond to the desires of a pure, unconditional devotee who is freed from all tinges of material infection. Okay, the verse reads again, O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the heart, through the ears, by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You're so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in a particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Mande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam. I was born in darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. To such a spiritual master, I offer my obeisances. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one can cross over mountains. And if he can speak also eloquently, so I pray for the mercy of my spiritual master. Okay, so this is amazing verse. Very important verse. It's worth one of the verses which is worth knowing by heart. So what is so important in this verse? In the previous verses, we were hearing about the sufferings of the material, of the living entities in this material world. And we were hearing about different processes which are not enough to allow the living entities to attain perfection. And this verse speaks about the real process, the process of Bhakti Yoga. So, Prabhupada describes in the purport that by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, bona fide devotees. We come to the process of Krishna consciousness. So initially we need to have some faith, Shraddha. And by this faith, we like the devotees, we like what they do, and we try to be in their association. And the devotees association is very attractive for people who have amassed some kind of piety, and they appreciate the devotees. I'm sure every one of you has some special story of how they became attracted to the path of Krishna consciousness, some through getting a book, some by meeting the devotees on the street, doing Harinam, Sankirtan, and so many different ways. So once we attracted to the devotees, we start to live in the association. And in the association of devotees, we begin to hear about Krishna. So the essence of this path of Krishna consciousness has three steps. First, we hear about Krishna, and then by this process we can see him in our heart, and then we start serving him with great love. So this is very a special process, because Prabhupada explains in the purport these terms, shrutekshita. So we hear about Krishna and we can see him through our ears. Shruta means to hear, and ikshita through the eyes. Sorry, to shruta means to hear, and by this hearing we can see Krishna. Like if you go to Vrindavan, there's many things that may not be very attractive to the eyes, but we see the Vrindavan through the ears. If someone hears enough descriptions of Krishna's pastimes, the beauty of Vrindavana from Prabhupada's Krishna book or from Srimad Bhagavatam, and he goes there, then he can appreciate. But if you go without hearing anything about Vrindavan, and not meeting devotees or anything like that, you may take it very dirty and, you know, in unimportant place. So to get to this stage of association of devotees, it may take long time of purification, and most important is to be able to associate with devotees is to avoid committing offenses, because offenses make it very difficult for this process of purification to work. We have to be very careful. We hear so many things, but they may not touch our heart. So this is the same with hearing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We hear Hare Krishna Mantra every day, and sometimes we feel so despondent because it seems that our hearts are not getting cleansed. But a sincere devotee continues this process of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and gradually he comes to the stage when he starts to relish descriptions of Krishna, or he starts to relish the holy name. And when he hears the holy names, he actually can see the spiritual world. It's a gradual process, and we should be encouraged by the description of Srimad Bhagavatam of various devotees who have achieved that stage and persevere in our own spiritual practice. There's one word which really stands out in the beginning of a purport. It's a quality of Krishna. Did anyone notice that word? That is, Prabhupada says in the beginning of the purport. Let me find it. I will help you. Krishna is very kind, and he manifests in the devotee's heart in a particular form that the devotee is attracted to and wants to worship him in. And therefore Prabhupada says one word that Krishna is... No, not subordinate, not exactly. In sometimes when you have some arts and you use different materials, and sometimes this word is used for a particular material. Plyo, yes. Yes, so it's an important word. Krishna is very kind. Imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone's worshipping him. You know, he's so opulent and everything. And despite his exalted position, he is willing to come and manifest to the devotee in the exactly the particular form that the devotee is attracted to him. It means Krishna becomes our, well, one devotee said, subservient, which is kind of okay. Yeah. But Prabhupada, at the end of the purport, he says that the Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees, or he uses two devotees, he says, by Yoga Maya the Lord remains concealed to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving the sense gratification. So some of us may be doing that actually. you know, we come to Krishna consciousness and we enjoy the prasadam, we enjoy, you know, we have a very jolly life in Krishna consciousness. And we may start enjoying that and forget that this path of Krishna consciousness is ultimately meant to surrender to Krishna, and we start making different plans how to enjoy, like. But Prabhupada warns us that Krishna is not gonna give himself to that kind of devotee. He's not gonna enter the heart, because the heart needs to be purified. The heart needs to be purified, and this purification is only happening through the process of hearing. The more you hear about Krishna, about his pastimes, the devotees, how they serve him, descriptions of Krishna's beautiful form, the more you hear, the more your heart becomes purified. And once the heart is very, very pure, then the verse says, uses the word hritsaroja, then the lotus flower in the heart, you know, opens, and then Krishna can sit in the, Krishna becomes attracted and he sits in that heart. So I'm not very eloquent, I cannot describe it very nicely, but it's a beautiful process. And for Krishna to sit in our heart, we must become very eager. There's one story I heard. There was one king, and he became very ill, and all of his, you know, doctors in the kingdom, they were trying to heal him, and they couldn't. And they told him, sorry, we cannot help you. You have to accept it and live like that till the end of your life. And the king was very morose. So one day, a sadhu came to the kingdom, and the king, being a very pious, properly trained king, he started sincerely serving that sadhu, trying to please him. And after some time, the sadhu said to the king, I'm going away. And being very pleased with the service of the king, he asked him, can I do anything for you? So the king said, yes, can you cure me from my disease? And the sadhu agreed. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakmanam Gornita Ki Jai. And the sadhu said, yes, I will, I'm happy to cure you. So he said, but there's two conditions. One condition, actually, that you don't think of sense gratification, especially about sex. So the king says, yes, I will try. So the sadhu said, this is a medicine I've prepared. It's the essence of some herbs, some kind of juice. And you have to take every day, I will prepare every day 1.5 pot of this medicine. And one pot, you drink half the pot, and I'll drink the whole pot. So like that, the king started drinking this medicine every day. The sadhu would drink one whole pot, and the king would have a half a pot. So towards, and the king, you know, king was drinking faithfully, you know, and like going along with the process. And about 3 weeks down the road, he gradually started noticing, you know, I'm getting stronger. I'm feeling all right, you know. He was becoming enlivened, you know, that the process of healing is working fine. So he was very enlivened. But he also noticed that he was developing desire to enjoy different things. And also, he became lusty, and he could not stop thinking about this. So, like a few days before 1 month has passed, the sadhu asked him, how is it? How do you feel? And he said, oh, I feel so much better. It's working, I'm getting. But I want to admit something, that I'm feeling lust. So sadhu said, we had an agreement. You had to not think of these things, of sin enjoyment. And the sadhu said, now we have one more month. So after this month, you will die. Said, you will die. But and the king was shocked, you know, saying, how can I die? Because that was the condition, you know. So he said, okay. The sadhu said, okay, you will die, but if you take for one more month the same medicine, at the end of the 2 months, you will die peacefully, and you will not suffer. Like that. So, for the next 1 month, the king was continuing to take the medicine, but he was so worried that his death is approaching. He was constantly thinking how he will meet Yamaraj, and he was worried about his past activities. Like that. And he completely forgot about the enjoyment, sense gratification, and sex life. And when they got to the end, the sadhu asked him, so how are you now? Do you still think about sex life and different kinds of enjoyment? And the king said, oh no, I'm only worried about death. That I've only got a few days left and I have to die. So the sage told him, the king actually asked the sage, so How is it that you're not thinking about these things? It's because I'm always remembering. After 1 month, you said that you're thinking, and at that time, I'm always remembering about death. I'm always conscious that this life is temporary. And like that. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that we are all in love with something. And everyone is in love with something, is thinking of something. We cannot help but be in love with something or somebody. And this cherished thing is in our heart. So if we purify our heart sufficiently through the process of Krishna consciousness, we will get that eagerness, and Krishna will sit in our heart for sure. Krishna will be attracted if we hear about him. This is the story of Jayadev Goswami. He was a great poet, and he was residing in Jagannath Puri. What was the song that he wrote? This great Gita Govinda, yes. So when he was writing the Gita Govinda, it is said that his wife was present, and he would compose a verse, and his wife would sing it. She was a very good musician. So simultaneously with him composing, she would also compose a nice music to the songs, and she would constantly sing those prayers, praising the Lord. At one point, Jayadev Goswami, he stopped composing, and I forget how it was. Anyhow, so later on, his wife, she would go about his daily activities, and she would sing these prayers. Once she went to a field to get some eggplants. She wanted to get some eggplants to cook for the Lord. And the Lord was so attracted by her singing that he was following behind her. And she felt, going through the garden, picking this eggplant, she felt some presence. And she turned around, and the Lord appeared to her as an eggplant. And then she continued to feel that someone is following her. And then she turned and the Lord, she saw the shadow of the Lord. So Krishna was so attracted by her singing and her absorption. So this kind of absorption is necessary for the devotees in order to attract the heart of the Lord. And then the Lord in Jagannath Puri, when he came back, the king noticed that the dress of the Lord had some traces of plants and different things were hanging on the dress, and he was very angry, and he chastised the priest. And in the evening, the Lord had a dream, and the Lord, the king had a dream, and Jagannath appeared in the dream and told him that why you were so angry, you know. I was attracted to Git Govinda, to this Padmavati. Was it Padmavati, her name? Yeah. And I want every day this prayer to be chanted in a temple. So since then, Git Govinda is always chanted in the temple. And like that. So the Lord is very attractive with this purity of the heart when someone chants his glories. And in the next verse, text 12, this is what the devotees do who have this kind of attraction. They start preaching to everyone. All right, so I will finish. Thank you for your patience. I'm sorry, I'm not not a very good speaker lately. I mean, I have it here in the mind, but I cannot express it properly. You need to have the Lord's mercy to do that, and I don't have it at the moment. If anyone wants to ask or add something, they make some corrections. If not, Jai Prasalam. Yes, oh sorry.
I just wanted to share this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It tells us how the Lord becomes established in our heart. The second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that simply by submissively and attentively hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Lord becomes manifest within the heart.
Thank you. Beautiful. It's very relevant to what we spoke. Thank you. Yes, Prajana Prabhu.
Looking in chapter 6, 25, 26, 27, 28, and 30, it says, basically I'll start, it says, gradually, step by step, one should be situated in trance by means of intelligence and sustained by full conviction. And thus the mind will be fixed in the self. And the final verse from that 25 to 30, it says, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So it's the process of becoming fixed in your determination. But eventually the attraction to the Lord, he sees, the person sees him, the Lord, everywhere and everything in me. So he's never lost. He's never lost to the Lord. Okay.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.